Colombian, Anna Miller, and then Bill's walking in here in just a little bit.
I could probably easier tell you who's not here.
I just get to ask a lot of people. I gotta really watch what I say now.
My bad. Yeah, I'm sorry. Hidla is here, not Hiddle. So.
All right. So where we are is we're still kind of sort of nowhere. You all will chuckle at the interesting things that are Olympia politics. Members of the Senate Majority Coalition, a couple of them sent out Twitter tweets about an hour ago saying there was a budget deal reached. Then folks associated with the Democrat Party and then the governor's office sent out their own tweet saying, no, there isn't one. So I'm convinced all my questions are answered on Twitter, but maybe not this one. So anyway, I think they're inching very, very close. If I were a betting man, I would anticipate that there's something struck tonight, later today. For them to send out an information thing, there is a deal, and they're clearly very close. There's a couple underlying issues floating around. You may have read about the fish consumption rate issue is one of them that's holding things up. There's some budget proviso language dealing with that the community has concerns about.
Mike,
the bowling company in particular.
Mike, hold on a second.
Sure.
So just a quick on fish consumption rates. Fish consumption rates is the standard that is being used by ecology to determine how much toxic chemical you can put into a waterway. And the fish consumption rates, it says, how much fish do you consume? So if I'm consuming an average poundage of salmon, how much in toxins am I taking in? And that's how they're determining the amount of toxin that can go in. The problem with how ecology is doing it, as with many things that ecology does, is that they've set the level so low for toxins and so high for fish consumption that they've actually made it, and so at least one Boeing facility likely would move out of state because the additional requirements that would need to be fulfilled in stormwater management to make sure that they didn't put more toxins in and so that they could meet the standard would be, I forget how many millions of dollars Boeing was expecting to have to pay at the rent and facility.
Well, I don't know. And the reality is any discharger is affected by this because, as you mentioned, people get caught up because of it's called fish consumption, and people think it's strange and they think they're going to be forced to eat fish. It's a water quality measurement.
Exactly.
And they're
this
going
is how
to
they
increase the ratio ecology is and increase water quality standards.
But the bottom line,
that's what it is.
The bottom line is the business community got hyped up and involved because Boeing and a couple of other large businesses have said that they will flat out move if these are implemented. And so there's been a lot of chaos.
Supposedly the deal now is the rumors around the hill are that the Boeing company is not satisfied with what is agreed to language. Now that's just what I'm hearing. So that issue is still in play. But again, I think those things will get ironed out. Maybe not everyone's going to like the language that comes forward, but that's just the kind of stuff that's floating around. It's pretty minor issues in the grand scheme of things. Certainly issues that are very important to those people that care about it. But in the grand scheme of the budget, they're pretty minor right now.
And Mike,
yes.
So that, I assume, is a policy piece that was being put out there as bait for a give. What was the give that they were looking for?
Well, there's all kinds of speculation. One of them is the telecom tax fix bill has been something that the Senate has been unwilling to do. The Senate majority is holding on to that kind of as their last piece of leverage. And I don't know if we want to get much into it, but it deals with a court case. And it's a liability that the state could have if they don't. It has to do with you don't pay sales tax right now on a landline if you're an incumbent. I think I'm saying this right. An incumbent carrier, which is essentially CenturyLink anymore. Are you CenturyLink down there? That's what we are up here.
But, no.
Verizon bought us through it because they were providing home phone service, saying we shouldn't have to pay the sales tax, but because they weren't the incumbent carrier, they had to. The courts agreed with them, so the state is open to significant liability. So now what's going to happen after this bill passes is there will be a sales tax on everybody's landline, whether you're with Comcast, Verizon, or CenturyLink, or whoever it is. The industry is actually in agreement on it because they're going to use some of the money for infrastructure, it trickles down to the local government level because it will help enhance E911 funds. Because there's a difficulty in collecting those E911 funds on the cell phones. So there is a trickle-down effect there. It's a lesser issue. The E911 issue is a lesser issue for the legislature just because it's a complicated tax bill, but it's certainly a piece of that. But that bill will happen. I can't imagine that it won't. It will happen at some point, but it'll be one of the last pieces to go.
Take a breath between your sentences.
Okay.
So that's a sales tax on landlines. Are they pre-designating the revenue from that for the 911 lines or something, or is that just simply a sales tax as one more stream that goes into wherever all the rest of the sales?
The sales tax will go into the state's general fund. The reality is local government, you will realize that too, some increase because there's a local portion of the sales tax. But in terms of the E911 funds, it will just help capture those additional E911 fees that are on cell phone bills now or on phone bills now that are tough to capture. Streamlining is maybe the wrong word, but it's a way that they'll get at capturing what they should have been under the law. It's just been difficult to do.
So
that's one of the last big moving pieces in terms of bills that are floating around.
When does this budget take effect?
I'm sorry?
When would that bill take effect if it passes?
Well, my traditional answer would be 90 days after adjournment, but since we're already about 120 days after what would be normal adjournment, I'd have to go look. It'll probably have to have an emergency clause on it because it'll be needed to fund the next biennium, which starts on Monday, right?
Right, July 1.
So the House... I'm sure you read or I had emailed you that the House was going to be taking up the transportation revenue package, a couple of the bills associated with that. They did that yesterday. There were several anti-CRC amendments offered, mostly by your local delegation, anywhere from public vote requirements to no funds released if light rail is a portion of it. Very similar themes to things that we've already all talked about or heard about. None of them hung. None of them were supported on the floor enough to pass. That's not a surprise to me at all. It's long been the House's position of support on the CRC and the light rail function, as you all know. But they did not pass the bill off the floor. They only did amendments yesterday. Supposedly they will pass the bill this afternoon. But there's still some question as to whether or not they can do that. Complicating matters for their will to pass it would be the bond bill that needs to go along with the transportation bill. That requires a 60% majority vote. And I don't think they have the votes to get the bond bill off the floor. All that is, at the end of the day, I think it's very unlikely that the Senate will act on anything. The Senate's being consistent that they're not going to do a transportation package, and then more specifically, that they will not include CRC in a revenue package. I have heard nothing in the conversations I've had with legislators that has changed.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
Suppose they pass some kind of a budget and they don't include the CRC funding, any CRC funding. Is there some discretion that can be exercised by the governor or by WSDOT to direct funds to that project anyway?
That could happen if the language that was put in the Senate budget that passed, which was kind of the carry forward transportation budget that passed, 2.5 months ago now, there was specific language in there to prohibit that from happening, prohibit the transfer from one mega project to another.
So if they don't include that in this latest one, then...
No, that's law now. It passed.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But they could pass a bill to undo that.
Not likely, though.
They could pass language to undo that. I don't think it's likely, but that could happen.
Yeah. So we're safe when it comes to redirecting.
You are right now, but no lobbyist would tell you you're safe from anything until the legislature leaves town.
Got it.
So, So, and I would anticipate them leaving town. You know, they have to by Sunday, otherwise no one wants to see the shutdown thing happen. The mechanics of this place are, though, they have to come to a budget agreement. And again, this is not operating on a transportation, but they have to come to an operating budget agreement here in the next 24 hours, 48 hours, because it takes 2 days of voting to finish everything. It's the mechanics that a staff has to draft language. They've got to coordinate everything. So it takes a while. So in reality, the true drop dead date here is coming up pretty quick, you know, tomorrow night.
Is a transportation budget or package separate, independent from the normal budget?
So, yes, it is.
And are they working on the normal budget first?
Yeah, and that's the one that I had said that they thought there was an agreement on. But turns out maybe there's not an agreement. But that seems to be the priority. The Senate has long said that's their priority. And again, like I said, the Senate has been consistent in that they want to do the operating budget. They do not have an interest in doing a transportation budget. Maybe there are senators that certainly want to do one, but the majority right now doesn't want to do one. But again, things do change, so, and I'll stay on top of it.
Thanks.
What else you got, Mike?
You specifically, commissioners, I think a couple of weeks ago had asked about two issues, one with the Public Works Trust Fund diversion and or sweep. I don't know if you had a chance to read your emails this week, but just briefly, I think a sweep will certainly be part of a budget solution. It constantly is, and that's an issue that if we want to address that, we'd have to do that next year in terms of trying to stop those sweeps from happening. The other was the substance abuse funding, where the House position was fully funded. The Senate had a $16 million cut. Well, originally had an $8 million cut, then went to 16. I think at worst it ends up being an $8 million cut, and I have a feeling it'll actually be the House's position where there is no cut. Today I say that. So we'll have to wait and see what the final budget document says.
Okay. Anything else?
I was probably kind of quick and dirty, but that's what I know. So you're always welcome to call anytime, anybody, and I'll do what I can to answer the questions.
You guys have any other questions for
us? Nope.
All right, just keep us on top of it, and you keep on top of it. Let us know if anything's happening on either front, whether it be operating or transportation.
Yeah, I'll shoot you short, quick stuff. If anything really breaks that's newsworthy, then certainly we'll let you know when they do finish it.
Mike Bill, sure. Specifically, if you see the shutdown looming, can you let me know quickly? Because I have the Health Department Community Services. We have contingency plans to shut down. Since they're mostly state funded.
Yeah, Bill, and I think, there'll have to be some sort of an announcement on that over the weekend. I just don't see it happening.
Okay.
But I appreciate what you're asking for, and I will make sure to get that to you if that is where we're ending up.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Perfect. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Yep. All right. Bye-bye. All
right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That fish consumption thing, they must assume I'm getting all my fish from the river.
That's the issue. No, seriously, that is a lot of the issue is... There isn't the assumption is that your fish consumption mm-hmm. is all happening from these places, as opposed to, well, what about the fish that actually swim upstream and that aren't actually taking in toxins in that one specific area? What if they're taking on toxins from another area and we're measuring them? Measuring other people's toxins that we can't even control.
Well,
and then
we saw this coming a couple of years ago when they started the press on lead. Reducing the amount of lead. In anything and everything we do, I'm not quite sure what they're going to do for fishing weight.
Right, and the tribes are involved because obviously they, fish consumption and fish, fishing and fish consumption is a larger part of their culture, and so they've looked at it and said, well, your average of how much fish people consume is fine for you, but for us, it's way low. We actually consume a lot more fish.
They got a smoke in the priest pipe first. Now they're selling us a bad fish.
Yeah, it's messy. It is definitely a messy issue how they're trying to measure that. So, all right. Parks.
Perfect.
New numbers.
There you go.
New numbers.
New numbers.
Pass those around, make sure it has one of those. And then this is just from the work session, and I didn't make copies for everyone on that, but I did want, just as a reminder, this was what we did at the work session. Mm-hmm. And the direction you gave us at the work session was to send out a soft termination letter with the interest in trying to negotiate a much better price for Parks Operation Services. And I think they were very anxious to try and see if we couldn't reach an agreement even before a letter would go out, because a letter would have to go out by Friday if we were going to do that. And so we met and negotiated some things, and a couple of the key things. They had previously reduced the director's salary, and that continues to be a reduced amount over what we had previously been paying. Gene Akers retired, and they're not going to refill that position. And then the percentage of support that we would be getting for the other landscape architects are going down. And then the reduced business manager share is being significantly reduced as well. The net of that is a reduction to $642,000 for 2014, which is very comparable to our lower cost alternative that we had presented several weeks ago. And it enables us to continue to have a partnership for reservations, for a single contact for park services and customer service. And I think that, it's up looking for some direction, but I'd certainly recommend this. We would be hard-pressed to go it alone and be able to provide the services at this low of a cost, just because of the fact that we would have to have some resources wholly ourselves versus having some shared resources that we're only paying partial cost on instead of full cost. Mm-hmm.
I think at this time, we don't know what we're going to do. We don't know what works best, but I think it's obvious that what we're doing isn't going to work. Under current agreement, doesn't work. I don't know. I don't think any of us knows how far we want to go with what services we might ask them to provide. So, with that being said, I think that we have to have a different work group to decide what services we think we want to buy from them.
Yeah, I agree. Where we left it is that all three of us agreed that the direction was go ahead and give formal notice to them. That way it allows us the freedom to continue to work things out between now and then. Right now it's like we're under the gun. We got a few days and then we're done. Mm-hmm. And that's not enough time. So I think the direction that we already set, we just say, just follow through on that. I think we're all in agreement to allow us the opportunity, because that 6 months is going to elapse Sunday, right?
Yes. And we're prepared to do that. I think our concern is that when this letter, as soft as we can put it out, we still run the risk that the city council will say, hey, that's fine, we'll just separate. And so then that would kind of cease the negotiations, and it would cause us to then limit the number of options we have and to have to create our own services. Now, that's not... That's just the concern that staff had, which was why they were very much in interest in sitting down and seeing if we couldn't get an acceptable budget to you even before that letter had to go out.
I don't see that.
What don't you see?
I don't think we can get that done in a week or by Friday. Well,
they've been working on it for
Since the work session.
In order for us to act on that, we'd have to have another board.
Vancouver?
Well, yeah. I've been working with the interim parks director in trying to, which is what generated this proposed budget, and it's a reduction of about $167,000 to $168,000 over what we were at previously.
Certainly, the direction to we need the flexibility to be able to define it, but. At this point, in order for us to take action on it, we don't even have time even to bring this back next week, because we're June 30 is done before that.
Well, no. I mean, you're right. We don't have to do anything. One of the things about the interlocal agreement is that it doesn't have a budget in it. It just refers to staff preparing a budget and bringing it to the board and the city council and so forth, which is what we're doing. So if this was acceptable even within, you know, even within the current interlocal agreement, then we would just be say that this would be the budget, and then we'd still, in the next part, if we got to that, is that we still collectively, because of the green play work, would recommend that we amend that interlocal agreement to better reflect the current conditions. But it's just an amendment, and it and the agreement itself does not have dollar amounts in it. That's just done during the budget process, and so that's what I was bringing forward, was just a revised budget.
One of the things I was concerned with, and I wanted to have more input and consideration for, is the change in the way that we do our planning, engineering and design and architects. I'd like to have the opportunity to try to do a design bid build on parks.
We don't actually currently have the state, the legal statute to be able to do it for that size of project. We're actually within the state statutes, and I think, Commissioner, I sent you the email on that. I believe that the minimum project is like $10 million, I believe. But the size of our park projects don't allow for that type of construction.
We'd fall under that category, then we'd have to have a $10 million project.
I believe so, yeah.
So why couldn't we combine more than one park then?
We have. We've been doing that, but mostly we've got, we'd have to almost combine all of them to get under that level.
I'd like to have us consider that. So I'm not prepared to tell them this is what we want to go forward with for a plan for them to put together a budget. I'm not prepared to do that.
So what more information do you need to...
I want to go back and look at our policies such as this. How many dollars do we have that we're talking about going back out and building some of the parks today? Mm-hmm. Is it going to meet that threshold of $10 million that we could do three parks or four parks? And do we have $10 million in that budget to do? If we do, we go out there and say, I want to build three parks or four parks that cost us $10 million, and I want to put that for design bid build.
We could still do that under the contract, the interlocal. So.
Well, that's what I thought. So what I'm saying is that we eliminate the cost of an architect, an engineer,
right, got
and
that.
All this other stuff, because that would come as a package
right.
from designer. And we've had local contractors doing this stuff, and we just tell them, I want to see this, this, and this in the park.
So part of the savings is actually getting rid of our support for landscape architects, which would move toward giving the flexibility and the freedom to do that. But I guess, so the question is you know, we've got something.
I'm looking at the org chart.
This is just this one. This is the proposed.
I think these are details that we need to be able to actually have the time to consider. Mm-hmm. And right now, we there's no way that we're going to end up having an agreement this meeting, because we don't even, because we're out of time.
Right.
So the out of time portion, I was wondering about that. So we have the 180 days, and we've been running along this, mm-hmm. assuming that the 180 days meant we had to have it done by June 30th.
Notification.
Right, the notification. Yeah. But the notification, I don't remember the notification provision, as I'm thinking about it, saying 180 days before the end of the year. It just said 180 days.
Right, you're right.
Didn't it?
Parks ILA Section 22 authorizes amendment in writing by mutual consent of the parties in the near term in order to ensure that the arrangement set forth in the 2008 Parks ILA terminate at the end of the year. The county must provide city notice of its intent to do so under Section 5.
But if it to have it terminate at the end of the year.
And that's what this formal letter does.
I get that. The requirement, as I understand it, is 180 days to terminate.
Correct.
I can terminate it next June. I could terminate it today if I would have noticed them 6 months ago.
Yes.
Okay. So I guess what I'm saying is to try to get the additional information necessary, but not put us in a potential position of costing the citizens a couple hundred thousand dollars a year more because we end up getting to this sort of brink of a letter that may or may not be seen negatively or whatever. We have the flexibility and freedom to not send a letter and today or tomorrow or the end of this week and give them 180 days from whenever we have some reasonable assessment of, should we or shouldn't we.
That's not what we've been told all along.
I agree. I totally agree. But like I said, as I was thinking about the, all right, we're up against this deadline. Then I had this moment. I thought, wait a minute, it says 180 days. Does it say 180 days from the end of the year, or does it say 180 days?
I think I understood it to say you have to give them 180 day notice of major change
right. That
they may or may not agree to.
Yeah.
And that's what we've
done. If that's the case, then we don't have it. Then the deadline is self-imposed.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's at the end of any calendar year.
Okay, yeah, here we go. So it does say that. It says...
Is this the same?
It may be terminated at the end of any calendar year?
Yeah, so...
Okay, that's where it is.
And that's where it's critical because of the budget process to make those kind of changes.
So we're out of time.
The duration of that agreement, Section 4.
So what we're saying is that the current one, we're terminating the current budget and we're going to... Or contract.
We're giving notice that we're going to within the next 6 months.
And we're in the process... of drafting a new proposal for the contract.
Right. What we're concerned about is that the city council will just take this and say we're done.
That's okay. They can do that.
And then it'll cost our citizens $200,000 more a year.
No, not according to this.
According to this, it will. $65,000 more.
That's one
for services. And then, you've said all along, we're not going to decrease service to our citizens. So if we're keeping the level of service for our citizens, then... we could save $157,000 or we could pay $65,000 more. It's actually more than $200,000 more a year for our citizens. Plus, it doesn't provide as good a service. I mean, that's concerning.
Let's assume we don't change any policy or any way.
Well, that means that you're going to lower service then.
Well, that's if we hire all these FTEs. But you told me a month ago that we didn't have to hire all these FTEs. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say, we're going to do it right now.
I just think it's dangerous for us to play the brinksmanship game of, let them do it then.
I'm just saying, we got to do what we've got to do. If they feel the need to pull the plug, they can pull the plug. We're here, we're proposing a new contract for them to consider. If they don't want to do that, that's fine. We'll have to do something else.
Well, we're not proposing
I don't want to continue along what we've got.
I agree with you. We all agree on that. But the point is, how do you do that? How do you proceed? And we're not proposing a new contract to them. What we're doing is we're sending them a letter saying, hey, we're giving you the notice. We'd like to work with you in the interim, but if we come to a breakpoint, here's the notice. And so that is my concern, that once that notice is out there, how is that received? And if it is received in a way that ultimately does produce just the sheer split, then there is a risk, based on all the numbers that have presented, there is a significant risk of increased cost to our citizens for the park service.
If we did nothing different, according to this, yes.
And I agree that changes need to be made. We all have agreed on that. It's just a matter of how we proceed.
Yeah, and basically, you made the motion or they led the charge on this. We already made this decision at the last work session. I thought it was that the letter had already gone out. And Pete, thank you for trying to, at the last minute, try to come up with an agreement. But I think to stay consistent with the results of the work session after we evaluated all that, we just simply go with the decision we already made, and because this basically is last-ditch effort to make corrections to it is a noble effort, but it doesn't leave us the flexibility to really make sure that we have the flexibility that we need to be smarter about this.
Okay.
Right.
That's the direction.
That is the direction.
The letter. The letter's ready to go.
And ultimately, when we receive new information, as you've said before, it's that you make decisions with the best information available. When that information changes, you give yourself the freedom and flexibility to change that. And based on the information that I'm seeing and what we are hearing about how this might be received, I think that we're at risk. And I mean our county general fund.
I can't imagine that they've been subsidizing this by $200,000 That's what you're saying, is that if we do the same thing they did, it's going to cost us $200,000 more. I can't see how that would happen.
Well, some of it's subsidence. Some of it's just, and we talked about this earlier, some of it's just the power of purchasing, where if you're doing it together, you're paying for one person to work for both, as opposed to two people to do work separately.
Compare.
All right, you got direction.
Okay. That's clear. I will send it tomorrow.
Thank you, Pete.
All right.
You're welcome.
So, okay. Read the letter that we're sending.
So basically, the letter gives them notice. So it cancels that agreement, so we have the flexibility to come up with a new
one. Yes, sir.
Yes, great.
It gives notice that the agreement will be terminated.
In hopes that we can negotiate.
It doesn't cancel the agreement.
Well, it says
at the end of the year.
That's what I wanted to make sure.
Because it's still in effect for 6 months.
It's a nice letter.
Well, the bottom line question is, does this basically give them notice that says, we're not going to renew it as it is?
Yes, according to legal counsel.
And we have the full freedom to come up with our own new agreement, and we're not kind of assuming that we're going to modify the current one. We still have the flexibility to do whatever we want between now and January.
Have the flexibility. We have the flexibility to do whatever we want as the county. They have the flexibility as independently elected officials to do whatever they want. We don't have the flexibility to institute a new interlocal, right? I mean, you get that. We have to have the partner. You know, you can't dance alone.
Well, go ahead, Tom.
The first thing that we heard is that they didn't like the local agreement we had, and that they wanted to redo it because they wanted more say-so in what they were doing. Mm-hmm.
So,
but the draft interlocal doesn't reflect that. The draft interlocal is what has come out of the analysis, and it truly is just totally scaled back to something that is just a fee for services that we negotiate, because we need some services. And with respect to how we build future projects, this is really what we're paying them for the operation of our system, because as of right now, we have no authorization to move forward with any new construction. If we get new money, we have the flexibility then to best figure out what's the best mechanism to deliver those projects, and we can explore all sorts of options. And it really wouldn't necessarily be tied to the interlocal agreement.
Can I see that, please?
Yeah. Here's the action right there.
Great. All right. Thank you. All right.
Okay. Thanks,
anything else, Pete?
Nope.
Cool. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you. Right. We appreciate it.
All right. We have two recruitment items that are actually most appropriate in executive session because they involve personnel. So
we can save that for last, right?
That's what I was just going to say. Before you interrupted me.
I won't do that.
All right. So we'll move on then to continuing item, CRC ballot measure and election time frames. Any updates, gentlemen?
I haven't done anything this week.
To be continued.
To be continued. All right. What?
No. I'll call.
Okay. Thanks. County administrator recruitment. That's a process question, so it's not personnel specifically. Francine, did you have an update? Your bill was just pointing to you.
No, nothing new. Okay.
And I'm still getting caught up on
TBC.
Okay, so we continue. PIO office function. That was something that was.
Yeah, I got something. There's a local advertising agency, Ask Advertising, right here on Main Street. Good people, husband and wife team. I haven't heard back from them, but what I envision is a simple, low-cost little flyer that we could put together that would then be inserted into the local newspapers, the Reflector, the Post Record, the Columbian, the Vancouver Business Journal. And it would just be a flyer that would basically notify individuals that if they want to expand their business, or they want to create a new business, this is the time, this is the place, fees have gone away, it's temporary, and let them know. So that's just simply, I don't have a quote on it yet, but that's the idea. So what I'd like to be able to do is come back with that quote. So we would know exactly what that would cost.
First of all, we've got to go through purchasing on that. I know that Ask has done work for you in the past, and so you probably have a good relationship with them, and that's cool. But doing a no-bid contract doing a no-bid contract in general is not seen as a very positive thing by most of the people we serve. And doing one with one that you have a relationship on that you've done political work with in the past, Again, I said it last week, I like the idea of having some sort of marketing on that, but to do it right and to make sure that it's seen as a positive by our constituencies, I would ask, not to use the term, that we actually do the right, you know, go to a bid on it.
What about our own print shop?
Well, the question would be, who is? Do we need help as far as the actual marketing, like the marketing message associated? Because what we've said, and that was the conversation we had last week, was the public information and outreach is not the appropriate arm of county government to do marketing, that they're information and outreach. So, but we all, I think, I agreed that to getting the word out about something positive to try to market it a little bit, that's also a positive.
So you're talking about how large of a piece of paper. So I want to use that in a bid process with our PIO designing something with a half-page ad.
Ooh, again, PIO doing an ad is then marketing. And we talked about that last week.
Design.
Yeah, I got to change.
So our PIO would design something similar to what you're talking about.
We can
compare that with the cost of the size that you're talking to advertise to the to that of... And the actual ad in the paper.
In other words,
would be designed by
include the internal, our own resources in that. I got to change my card.
No problem. Well, and Holly, I think toward the end of the conversation last week when we were talking about the marketing aspect, we had assigned you a thing, and we said, hey, work with Kelly and see what you guys think about how we might be able to do something. Have you guys had a chance to have that conversation?
We haven't. Kelly, my understanding was you took the rest of the week off and I was
Kelly here today you mean?
Last week
got it, okay.
Yeah. But I was looked on a lot of county websites, mostly what I saw was tourism marketing.
Did you hear my question, Holly?
Yeah, Holly, I'm not looking
at the end of our conversation.
I'm not looking for something on our website.
We're
looking
to work with Kelly and see what you would suggest as far as the marketing.
We might have
to
place
a bid. It's the smartest way to do it.
We'd design something to place an ad, just like we went someplace else to have them design something of same size and can compare the cost. So that's what we would do.
Generally, so again, public information outreach doesn't do marketing, right? I mean, that's not their focus. So as far as marketing message, that's a very specific genre. I mean, there are people that are very good at it, that are very good at actually creating a marketing message associated with a business, you know, opportunity or whatever. And so I'm more comfortable just for myself them helping as far as figure out what the process would look like or what it would be, but not out there creating marketing designs, because that's just not who they are. I mean, it has not been who they are.
I didn't know I could do that until I did it in my campaign.
And there were a bunch of people smacking you saying, why aren't you getting a marketing? And you said, yeah, guess what?
I know.
So I guess the process would be...
I'm looking for options.
I would think that we would start with just simply... doing some research and finding out how much would it cost for the papers, because for the various size inserts, if it makes any difference, and then how much would it cost to actually get them printed and get them laid out.
So okay, an insert.
So
insert
so
versus
insert's
printed.
A lot less money. It's probably 20% of the cost of actually printing in a paper.
So why don't we...
Plus it's full color.
So we're not off individually doing that. Can we task staff to... Because we had talked with them last week about doing that. About, you know, getting together a proposal of this is what it would look like, and then because we have to have something to put out there for bid, right? We have to have something to give to ASK or any other marketing firm and say, this is what we're looking for. How much is this going to cost us for the design aspect of it or whatever?
I'm certainly open to the ideas for how to promote this, but if our own PIO office is basically information based, I would think that we would invite whatever the process it would be. Some marketing people and advertising kind of people that lay things out, or we could submit some content, and then we could to them, and they could come back and propose, and we can all look at it and say, here's what they propose.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Is we have to have an RFP, right? I mean, we have to have a request for a proposal, and in that request, you got to give them some. You got to give them something. You got to tell them what you want. Mm-hmm. And so instead of you going and saying to ask, or to anybody else saying, this is what we want, or me saying it, or Tom saying it. Yep. Having, like, this is what we're looking for, and then have them propose.
Sure.
So don't you go back and say, I want an insert this big?
Well, we probably give them a range because exactly. If we ask the, sometimes we can, because we ask the question, especially if it's a formal bid tender process, if we had asked like a quarter inch smaller or something, then they say, oh, right. You would have been a lot less yeah. money. So really to ask or allow the flexibility for them to propose the most practical solution.
Maybe an RFQ, because an RFQ gives you a little more, you can have a broader brush and not have a quarter inch, it's this, and that bit.
Where I was going with that is that don't cut our staff short. They have put together some beautiful brochures to sell us on ideas that was very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And with that talent, I think it's probably qualified to get in that RFQ.
This is the long conversation we had last week about the appropriateness of having public information and outreach staff doing marketing and promotion because they have to be seen as a resource and as an objective resource for information from the newspapers, from the citizens, from the neighborhoods.
So what you're saying, you don't want to use them to sell our program.
Exactly. Well, that's what we talked about last week. Yeah.
Is that how you feel?
It was more like...
we should probably ask.
I think the discussion last time was more along the lines of have separation of opinion being promoted. This isn't a separation of opinion.
No.
This is a program that has been instituted, and we want to promote it like we would promote any other service that we provided the county.
Remember positive, neutral, negative? You know what I'm saying, neutral? That's what we wanted them to be doing? That was the whole... I mean, you can't be neutral and do marketing, right?
Okay. Hire someone else to do it.
Well, did you want to participate in that at all, or you feel like we just use outside service?
No, he's got a point. I mean, so what you're saying, because we don't all agree on it, we can't promote a positive...
No, not at all. I mean, even if all three of us were agreeing on it, having public information outreach be a neutral source of information gives citizens the confidence that the information they're getting from them isn't being spun one way or the other, positive or negative. It's not being spun on them. It's information that is being provided to help them know what's going on in their community.
They could do that on a neutral basis just by saying, well, it's what's being offered.
I don't know.
I think Commissioner Milk is on to something. I think it's how informational you wanted it to be. If it's something as simple as you just outlined, Commissioner Bernard, about fees are gone, come, the office is open at this time, it's meant to cover X, Y, and Z. Jane has, you're right, she has a great gift for doing beautiful work. She also has saved the county tens of thousands of dollars in deals on the size of things or prices for printing and mailings. If, however, you wanted to say this is the best program in the world and if you want to do promotion of it or more marketing language, I'm not sure that we're the right place to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But informational?
The idea is sell Clark County. So, it's marketing.
Then that would that leads to saying, hey, maybe we need to go to the bid of it. I mean, we could look at both ideas of it and say, hey, does this get to the marketing of it? Is this informational presentation, is that...
enough.
Is that enough or not? I mean, we can, they can bring something back to us. And in part of the process of coming up with what the RFP or RFQ would, and just send them along both paths.
Well,
I like that.
I might suggest that things are not always one or the other. Sometimes you can do both. Since I totally understand your point about the PIO office being basically a news, strictly the news, none of the promotion or fluff where you go using a lot of marketing language. You could possibly engage them to do that part of it and then put out to bid to people who do the more marketing outreach and do another part B of the marketing where you're not violating the the way that their mission or the way they do things. Strictly, this is the news. It's, you know, we did the county did this just in every way that I've seen that they put out on all media releases.
And they have done. I mean,
just a suggestion.
No, it's a great thought, and it's something that, I mean, I thought that, you know, certainly through the normal Memphis press releases and all of those things that they would normally do as far as information release, they did on this. It's just, and we had a long conversation about what that looked like and whether it was right or not. We don't need to rehash all of that, but the question is, I totally agree with you as far as having that informational path. And then the question is, on something like this, do you want to have that second path? Do you want to have a marketing path? And I think that's the question that we can look at and get a, you know, proposal for and see, all right, is there that second path?
Yeah, and in order to actually get it down and just to keep it really simple, the idea of simply printing a color insert, whether it be 8.5 by 11 or something smaller, that would just be that you would distribute to the local newspapers. They would insert it in. It's very low cost to do that. Basically, they would inform and market Clark County, Clark County. Well, that's the point. That's the intent.
But then the question would be is, and I think a marketing agency would help us with this because that's what they do, is targeting associated with that. Because if you're you talk about who's your audience, who are you actually trying to market it to? If you're trying to market to entrepreneurs or potential businesses or existing businesses, do you go in the Columbian? Is that the right, or is it BBJ? But I would look for a marketing agency, not you, to tell me that, because ultimately, if you're trying to market it to all the citizens, that's one thing. Then you put it in everything. But if you're marketing to businesses who we want to attract, if this is a jobs thing, then you would want to target that. And a marketing firm can help us with that to say, because I appreciate your concept on that, but they may have a different concept, and you may look at their concept and say, well, sure, that's a better concept than I had thought of. Mm-hmm. So which is, I think, the joy of doing an RFQ or something.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Targeted marketing, very good idea.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So, Bill, can you direct staff on, please, starting to put together an RFQ/RFP. I don't know which is appropriate for, a market, an marketing vehicle for the fee holiday. Is that a fair?
And the product would be a design to come back to you for review.
No, the product would be the RFP or RFQ to come back to us to say, is this what we're looking for? Okay. And so that before it went out to anybody, that we actually had an idea of this is what we'd be looking at.
Okay.
Cool. All right.
Commissioner, if it's okay if I could interrupt for just a moment.
I
left something out
matter
of the park stuff.
Okay.
Related to the lifeguards at Klein.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We have not been successful in recruiting lifeguards to this point, and so we've increased the salary, and we are doing some outreach to other places. We've been talking to numerous different groups and so forth. And so I just wanted to let you know that we had intended to have lifeguards by July 1. We will not have lifeguards by July 1.
You're not by the 4th?
No.
You're not going to have them by the 4th?
No, we will not.
Can you start with at least some? I mean, you don't have
we
to
had
have them all to make
as
it work.
As of the first of the week, we had one candidate and was not qualified.
Wow.
So
there,
we're...
Because it's an open water lake, it has different requirements than an indoor pool. So it's a different pool of people. It has other specialized training. And it's very late in the season. Usually these classes are held in the fall. People get hired in the
So those
spring.
People are already hired
they're,
up
right,
or whatever?
Right. They do lakes and beaches and more. The facility is more like ours. So we're not just pulling from the indoor pool lifeguards.
One of the key questions to ask ourselves are we putting the word out there in broad enough areas? For instance, if you consider this is summer vacation,
right,
where there's a lot of kids that are a lot of college students that have come home for the summer,
right.
And those locations that would be local here, that certainly we ought to. Right. There must be avenues for us to be able to make sure we post everywhere we can.
We're exploring all those things. The other thing that we're looking at is seeing if we can get people with just the basic credentials and then provide the additional training and so forth.
Can we do that?
we're exploring that, seeing if we can get someone out to do that. We're looking at every single option, but even if we were to do that, if we were to get people on board and organize training and so forth, you know, we're certainly going to miss our timeline, and I can't guarantee. I can tell you now, I certainly would recommend that we just contract this out for future years. As you recall, AMR does it, and they had said, you know, hey, we can't gear up to do you in 13, but we could do 14. Ellis, who does the certifications, also can do that. So, you know, certainly I think we probably want to outsource that in future years, but to try and do the best we can this year, we're going to continue to try and use every avenue we have to try and get people. But we've got a press release that's ready to go out just to make sure that people know that we're not going to have lifeguards on July 1, as previously indicated.
Did we did a press release before on the need of lifeguards? Have we ever done that?
I don't know if we did a press release, but certainly there was an article in the Columbian because of the direction that the board had given previously.
Well, actually, that would be a story. Potentially. When you consider that there are so many people that wish they had a job, and here we have 10 or more jobs for young people, and you can actually train them with a class here in Clark County for the summer.
If we can get that put together, I can't guarantee that. That's what works.
Seems like that's the best the best option, though, is to try to get that locked down. And
Yes.
So that's the press release?
Yes. Would you like to see the draft?
Well, we have one ready to go.
Yes.
Obviously, I think we need to put it out there.
Well, yeah, we need to let people know that they're not going to be on board.
We want to do that.
I'd like to know that it's going to be printed. A lot of press releases we give, the newspapers doesn't get printed.
Well, Eric, you promised that.
So with that being said, should we place an ad?
We're also doing that. This news release has application information in it. It also has reminders about the life jacket program.
Yes.
And other water safety.
Okay, that's an article though. I want an ad. Have we actually paid for a newspaper ad
for the reflector?
How are we advertising for the position?
I understood we were going to be putting an ad in the Columbian. We've also are posting on our popular Craigslist site. We're looking at Monster. We've contacted the swim associations in the local community. Swim team associations.
Boy Scouts of America, I believe.
Yeah, we've been working
contact
with Boy Scouts.
How about the reflector?
How about an ad in all the three newspapers?
Four.
Reflector,
Vancouver Business Journal.
Columbian, Canvas Post.
Mm-hmm. Can't be
and
much.
Even Oregonian.
So
we haven't done that. I mean,
I guess the first question is, at least for me, the first question is, can we do the training ourselves? You know, can you get that training? Because then you're going to be more successful if you put the ad out there and you say, you need to satisfy requirements associated with open water, blah blah blah. Then you get one person. If we can say, you know, training will be provided for this, I think you're going to get a lot more people.
We can do it in a two step. The first step would be to go put it out there in all the local newspapers that describes what you're looking for, pre-trained people. And if we don't get responses within several days, then you could find out how long would it take, what would be involved in providing the training, and then you could put advertise for that as a second step, because the first step didn't work.
Well, what I'm hearing is that the first step was that they were going out there and advertising for all of the pre-trained, and that was our problem, is that, you know, we just didn't. It's too late in the season. Those people who have that training are already hired, and you can't get the training until later this fall.
Yeah, there was some earlier this month, but we didn't have people available to go to it.
Well, what the difference is, what I'm proposing, is that we put an ad in all the local papers, including the Oregonian. We haven't done that.
No.
So let's do that. And that would be for the pre-trained people.
And
then
along
you can always
with the press
come back. And while you're doing that, you check to see what would be involved in training.
Because I'd have to wait a week and then still not get anybody, and then we come back to plan B. I mean, do it and do them both.
You can continue
parallel
to
path.
I mean, the alternative is not have lifeguards.
No, which is where we're at.
And so I think as long as we try, maybe through our efforts this year, we'll have a full team next year. I don't know. We'll find out.
Well, the newspapers, don't they provide free the help wanted ads? No?
I don't think so.
There's
a small charge.
Cost?
Yeah.
All right, we'll work on that.
Okay.
Anything else, Pete?
That's I got plenty now.
Yeah, you do.
I did get the email, Pete. I just didn't make the phone call.
Yeah.
Pete, he did say we were having trouble.
Did you mention also that even that possibly if we gave requested, even if it was delayed, that AMR could come back and say, well, at least we can start it in August or something?
Ellis said they might be able to. AMR said next year.
Ellis. Yeah. Okay. So I don't know about Ellis. So you could also check with them and see if that be the case, that at least we can get them going.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll work all the avenues.
Okay, great.
In the meantime, we do have somebody hired to do the water testing and the work related to the spray pad, so that will be open and operating.
So basically before the local newspapers and the everyone in.
Yeah.
So my question is, when the first time we went to AMR, I'm not sure if you told them what we needed.
We told them, yes.
Did you? Okay. We were talking two or four or six
we were
rotating, but now it's obviously
they gave us a quote to do the work and said we're happy to do this for you in 2014.
We'll keep, and that was $120,000.
It's in that neighborhood, yeah.
For 10 or 11 lifeguards for the season? Sure.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you told me, I remembered.
It was that, because it was the same price that we had figured we would do it for.
Yeah,
let's go ahead and give them notice to be able to say, yeah, we want that next year, or whatever you need to do.
Ellis is a certainly at least one viable competitor. And they're the ones that provide the certifications. So.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so whatever we need to do to get the bid process going for that would be great.
We'll do that.
You're great. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it. All right.
Feel free to come back.
No, I'm not.
You have another idea. Just
2.7 on membership expense. Do you have any updates on that, Commissioner?
No, just where we were.
We're still working on it.
Do I have to be more specific?
I need to get on it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've been specific enough for you.
You were going to bring back
the summaries.
The summaries.
Yeah, we're going to decide on one.
Yeah, I've got to call into them.
Okay. I'm waiting for Steve.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
I'd have mine done except Steve didn't.
Yeah, exactly. And all the chairs fell in. All right. Commissioner reports. Let's see. 3.1 Railroad Employment Corridor Manager Hiring. Follow up.
For your instructions, Mr. McCauley.
Hold on. Yeah, if we're talking personnel, put that down like that. Those are qualifications. Thank you.
Oh, that's right. That's a comment.
Sorry.
That's right.
So we have three items on personnel that we need to discuss in executive session at the end. So commissioner reports. Commissioner Melky?
No.
I have one. Okay. I'm very pleased to see the content that we are providing for each of our board, each of our public meetings on our website. We have our audios for our board times and the links to the CBTV and the minutes. I'd like to be able to propose that I add also copies of the important documents that on that as well. For instance, we pass any resolution or any ordinance that we pass, that document would also be on there. I find that I'm looking for documents, and if I can't find it, then you can bet that the public can't find it. So it would be, I guess our site is set up for that.
They're already on our. Yeah. I thought they're already on our site. We have.
Let's check, because if the commissioners have any issues finding them on there, then that means that they're not easy to find. Because ultimately, you know where you're looking and other people won't.
I talked with Rebecca on it, and basically we have this grid format, this table, and it shows the date and the meeting, and there's none of the documents are in there. So that's where we would put them. So and we would say, this is
easy to do that, I think. It would be easy to do that, because all of the resolutions and documents are ordinance are added to the ordinance book.
Yeah.
And resolutions. Everything we do is on the file, because we have to show it to the auditor. We have to show it to the auditor.
Right, you need to have that link in the exact way.
I'll work it out.
Yeah, thank you.
Good idea.
So we would just catch that up for at least for 2013. Mm-hmm. Great. Okay, that's good.
All resolutions and all ordinances.
Well, the important documents.
Yeah, whatever was whatever been passed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's all resolutions and ordinances passed.
Yeah.
In fact, you could take it one step further. You could, you know, we normally give handouts that are printed in the back of the room, and it could be the staff reports and those kind of things.
Well, we have to sign them though. It shows the approval, shows a signature by the chairman.
Yeah.
On the
like
document.
We do with the minutes.
So, yeah.
So that would be. It's again. It's part of the. The more we can put there, the less we end up with public information requests that we have to fill, because it's all there.
Yeah. Totally think so.
Yeah, keep your fingers crossed.
No, it makes sense. Did you have anything else, Commissioner?
Let's see. No, that's it. Easy.
Can I do one on that same thing, on that same note? Mr. Goodman sent me an email asking that the... These agendas for these meetings be put on to the website at 10 a.m. prior to
our board meeting.
Yeah, board time.
These agendas.
The board time
agenda.
They want
this on there like 10 a.m. on Wednesday.
Actually, we could go one step further. Yes, I like that idea of putting everything on there to equip our citizens, because then it also moves us away from the paper to the paperless system.
Well, the actions taken, he asked for here, actions taken are on the tape.
All right, now
say again, I'm sorry?
He's asking for the agendas and actions taken. The actions taken are on the audio
right,
tape.
Right, those are on the audio.
Yeah, that's okay for that. What was I going to say? Oh, I know. Right now, it only contains history. What we can also, that's naturally where you would look for what's coming up. So you could also, the first entry can always be the upcoming meeting in that same location, because it basically puts everything in the same place, and you can say draft on the things until it gets adopted.
But I think that's what he's asking for, as far as the agenda having at 10 a.m. Before the meeting, right?
But he also asked for afterwards.
For all of our public meetings.
That happens already, doesn't it?
So
all we have to do is just put this on there, because our audio is already on there.
Tells the history of what happened. Yeah. Right. But he's talking about, so for other meetings, though, as well, having that, I mean...
Well, the ease of navigation and the organization of a website is really what I'm talking about. Because right now, when you click on Commissioner Meetings, you can click to all of the locations where all of our meetings are for history. And I'm saying add a new record on there always that shows the upcoming meetings.
I thought I've seen that on our website.
It's on the website in a different spot. You have to navigate to a different location.
Yeah, I get what you're
saying.
This
puts all the information that's upcoming, that's draft, and that's adopted, all in the same spot at a glance, in the same table.
I'll work with Bailey on too.
Yeah. Ease of navigation, I think, is a thread in both of these things.
Yes,
I totally agree
exactly.
with you. I mean, for citizens who are just trying to find, hey, what's coming up?
I think once we find out there's one place for all that stuff, we'll find out how handy that is.
So I got one link, and it's on the front page. It says Commissioner's Meetings. And then I clicked on that, and it says Board Agendas, Public Hearings, blah, blah, blah. And then, so I went from front page. This is our front page, and on our front page, just happened
over here. You can blow that up.
So I just went like, so that's our front page.
Yeah, look.
And then here.
Yeah, look on the left column.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's agendas weekly minutes. Oh, there, right there, minutes. Okay, click here. That's where you would. That's the.
You want to put it in here, in the table.
Yeah.
I got
that
you. Because it has this. It has like in that first page, but it says hearing agenda, and I click on that, and it gives me my.
It does.
My kids always tell me TMI. Too much information.
So put it in both spots. Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I got what you're saying.
Yeah, so we don't have to remove it from anywhere. We just have to make sure that...
Because I like having that on the board agenda, is having that one click. Okay, board agenda, here an agenda, and then I can pop it.
Yep.
But having it on the table of all documents that we have as well, I like that. That's a good idea.
Great, okay.
Good.
Thank you, Bill.
Sure.
Okay, I'm done.
So there's a table that we have that have all the audio and all of the documents from like board time and from our hearings. You know, it's a grid. Having the upcoming hearing agendas and consent agendas on that grid as well. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I'll show it to you if that helps. It's relatively straightforward.
And if there are documents that are not approved yet, you can just simply put draft in the title until it gets approved.
So this is our front page, right? This is our front page. Here's commissioner's meetings. Go into here. And so under board agenda, you can get it through that, right?
That's all you had?
Yep, that's it. I'm done. So this does that and more.
And then what we're saying is in the minutes, video, and audio files, putting it onto that grid too, having the upcoming on that as well. Okay, cool. All right. You didn't have anything else? Okay.
I'm good.
All right.
I'm
done. Bill, what do you got?
May I pay the CVTV quarterly payments?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, because that's already for time gone by, right? Here, I'm glad you brought that up. Do you want to share anything else about that? Because I've got something to share.
No.
Okay. Basically, CBTB, we need to either pull the plug or fix it.
Are you talking about FBTB or CBTB?
I'm sorry, FBTB.
Okay.
CBTB is healthy and doing well.
Because when you said we got to fix it or pull the plug, I immediately thought of FBTB, but I wasn't sure.
I'm thinking, wow.
Okay. All right. My brain was
thinking. Starts writing. He's like, wait a minute.
No, CBTB is doing really good. But FBTB, they're struggling.
They always struggle.
Well, they're struggling because they can't live on the pittance. I mean, it's a lot to us, but to them, it's not even enough to hire one full-time person. We either need to properly fund them with at least 2.5 full-time people over there, or we need to let that, we're wasting our money.
You remember the budget, right?
Yeah, we're paying them $50,000.
So you know we're not going to hire two FTE.
Well, it's out of the. I don't disagree with you, but it's coming out of the franchise fee. Yeah. Where we're taking
it's
the general fund.
So it's not working like it is.
You'd have to take it from FTE.
From CBTV.
No.
Good discussion because we are going to receive their quarterly invoice as of July 1st. You know, so it's right around.
Can we get them to come in and do? We haven't talked to them in a long time outside of just the board meetings. Maybe we could. Do you want to have them come in and do a little work session with us?
Yeah, we're going to have a meeting ahead of that. So let's do that. And I'll pull you in on that, Kelly. Maybe.
They've always operated before we got involved.
They didn't have anything.
They were always volunteer, use whatever they could scrounge together. Yeah. Then we got involved and we gave them the $50,000 and they were happy as a lark. Mm-hmm. They still had volunteers running the organization. So you go back to how much do you want to expand that and is that the role of county government?
At this point, I think the $50,000 was a thinking that would fix it. Mm-hmm. It hasn't fixed it. It's not enough to really do it right at all. And so, Axel,
them together, and then maybe that'll lead to a work session.
Yeah, because Kelly and Axel and I have spent time down there and know that we have a problem, and we need to correct the problem one way or another. We need to have a workshop or meetings or something in order to fix that.
They have a problem if they're not making it. They probably need to do a good presentation to us.
Well, and that's what the benefit of it might be is that we as a community are investing in public access television, which you know every other public access television in a community this size has public support, but there's a responsibility with that. And them coming to us and saying, how can you fulfill your responsibility more effectively? I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but I don't disagree with you that something, we got to do something.
I have trouble with public broadcasting.
Okay. So
tell him, man.
So Axel will help to coordinate something so that we can understand and evaluate what that situation is and then make a decision to either fix it and make it right and fund it properly or pull the plug because right now it's not working.
Well, we pull the plug.
Because
you can't pull the plug on the public access. There's a station that's specifically set aside by Comcast for public access television.
What I'm saying is pull the plug on the funding.
Gotcha.
So I'm not saying one or the other. I'm saying right now it's not working. We need to make a change one way or another.
All right. So, because I know where you're headed, Matt. So just let's get more information. I don't know. Let's get more information about what's going on and what potential there might be, whether it be a work session or otherwise.
I'm going to set up a pre-meeting and then
that may lead to a work session on kind of the state of FETV.
That sounds great. So Thank you.
Can you work?
All right. CVTV, though, we're cool with saying the bill with.
Be very clear. Strike that error. Right. CVTV so is say, very
for the record,
healthy.
Yeah.
CVTV money goes to FETV.
I think that's exactly what he said. He said higher
just
two
kidding.
And a half. That's
just
the
kidding.
Money. All right. Bill,
just transfer
else?
That. Transfer two, the two volunteers two, to the yeah, lifeguards.
Exactly. Just to remind you, we have a 3:15 appointment at Bronson's Farewell.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
The requests for work sessions are just two. The Parks Comprehensive Plan update, as you know, that's going to start taking place. They'd like to start in December with the work session.
Okay.
And then Bazala has the fall biennials already to biennially code review.
Parks.
We have a master plan for the parks. Comprehensive update.
Yeah, not being local.
And then Commissioner Mador called something to my attention today. I think I've worked it out. We have a statutory code conflict in terms of veterans' burial. The statute calls for us to pay, because we have a veterans' relief fund, calls for us to pay those expenses. We have put in the code some time ago a 12-month requirement for all benefit veterans' benefit services that you have to have lived in the county for a year. They've come up against an issue whereby their appeals committee voted 2-2 on this, and the fifth person has yet to vote. So it's really still in limbo. But it seemed, based on talking to staff, that it probably would serve the Veterans Relief Committee and ourselves better if we just exempted the veterans' indigent burial, alleviate that 12-month residency requirement for that benefit.
So if they die here, they get to be buried here.
Right.
Right. Is there indigent? Doesn't the county pay for that?
It does, but right now we have a requirement that they have to have lived here for 12 months prior to their death.
That's a different subject.
Yes, we
if
do.
If they're not a veteran and they die, the county buries them.
The indigent burial, yeah. You're right.
So why use veteran money to do it?
Because if they're veterans, they get the benefit.
But the state law, I believe, says they have to be here for 1 year.
No, it doesn't. I looked it up.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
It's just county.
That's why.
I don't want to open up a floodgate for people coming from Portland over here to be buried.
I understand.
And so I would do that very cautiously, and I think we probably should reconsider or talk about it more.
Okay.
Well,
I don't want to do. Because you opened the floodgate. You see that?
We've already opened the floodgate. I'm not mistaken. I thought that was pretty good myself.
That happened with welfare cases too. They'll move across this river back and forth depending upon the benefit that you
that's
give.
That's why we have the requirement on this.
And that's the reason the population far exceeds us. And I don't want this flow of indigent veterans coming over here to be buried. That's done by county across our state, and each county funds it differently to take care of their local veterans.
That's
not a state program.
Did the advisory board, or what do you call it,
the Veterans Resource Committee?
Did they ask for this?
We haven't gotten a hold of Bob, but that's the best way to do it.
Has it been back and forth on it? My understanding,
right.
Don't know what to do. The strange thing is the guy that's asking for it is still alive.
Correct.
Really?
Yeah,
but he is diagnosed.
As soon as they die, they stop asking for some reason.
We just increased it to $800. These guys will be out here waiting. Can I get my $800 check now? And
can I offer something on this? An idea. Here's what I think would be helpful. Yeah, that we would check to see the other Portland metro area to see what they do for their veterans over there, and because they already have that coverage over there, then there's no need for them to flood over
we
here.
We might want to send our people over there if they got another program.
Well, die over there.
But as far as cherry picking, figuring out which, if there's a consistent standard, then you won't have indigent veterans then shopping for the.
Yeah,
this is
so
a weird conversation.
So let me finish. Let me finish.
Right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let
no,
me finish.
Is this where that came from?
Go ahead.
Okay. Basically, we have an advisory board here that cares for veterans, and they're there to be able to address things like this. So we should invite them to advise us as what they would prefer, because they care for veterans. And in addition, we want to make sure we do check for the other areas too and make sure that we understand the environment here. And I would think that we're going to, as we, and I'm guessing until we hear from any advisory board, that one of the best ways to care for our veterans is to make sure that they have coverage. If they live in here and they die here, that program would certainly take care of them. But let's do the research and find out.
So the two
that's
steps
that's
then?
That's take 12 months.
All right. So is it okay to do the research then, do the research surrounding the area, and then talk to the Veterans Resource Council?
Don't write the guy that you got. Don't write the check yet.
Okay.
There was something else on the veterans. Was there the process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the appeal wasn't done yet.
No, I'm talking about what is the policy for the...
They have an appeals committee on any denial. They denied the request because the gentleman hadn't lived in the county for 12 months, but the appeals committee wasn't at full strength, and they always demanded everybody vote, and it was a 2-2 tie. So they're waiting for the fifth man to vote.
Well, I wasn't talking about a particular vote. I was talking about the... I thought that they had a...
They have a policy and procedure group, and they bring it back to the VRC. Then the VRC decides to accept it or reject it. And that's where all the benefits are decided upon. Then it comes to us, and we say, yes, we accept that, or we don't.
I'll talk with them to make sure that they have the freedom to be able to best steward their processes there.
They're the ones that don't want to pay for it. These loving people you're talking about.
No, I wasn't talking about any particular policy.
Okay, we'll do the research.
I was talking about the process that if veterans ask for something and they want and somebody says no, that they have an appeal process that works
fact,
the way it should.
We just passed the new form.
And just so you know, staff was not involved in this. Staff simply told the committee that there was a 12-month requirement for all veterans' benefits in Clark County. It's in the code. That's all they said. And they said, we're waiting for our fifth guy to vote, to break the tie.
And they need to vote during the VRC meeting.
I don't. Their appeals committee? I don't know about their appeals committee. I don't know about that.
Well, all right. Even the policy and procedure has to come back before the board.
So are we good with direction, though, as far as getting the research done, reaching out to VRC, reaching out to find out information as Commissioner Madore?
We want to make sure that we care for our veterans, and we make sure that advisory, that board is equipped and informed so that they're happy.
Okay.
I'm glad you brought this up. I think we should be looking for other counties that offer more than what we do, so we could send our veterans there for better care.
Yeah, good care. All right.
Okay.
Gentlemen.
I got you.
You guys knock it off. All right. Bill, you got anything else? All right. Kelly, welcome back.
Thanks. Just to make sure, is it a green light then to go ahead and forward the FVTV invoice to the auditor for payment?
The FVTV?
Yeah, they
quarterly. I thought you said I thought you said we haven't gotten it yet.
For what is that, last quarter or future quarter?
This would be starting July 1st.
So this is
the
future.
Payment for July through September.
Yeah, I mean, they need the funding.
It's really too short a notice for us to say, hey, guess what, you're not going to get your funds.
So for this quarter,
and then we would act for the third quarter or the next quarter to consider.
Good. Okay. Kelly, anything else?
Yep.
Holly, did you have anything else? Glenn, this is Glenn's last day.
And you will hear me with stuff in executive session.
Okay.
I'm not too.
All right.
Okay. Anything on your chest you want to get off?
It's like you will hear it in executive session.
this is our chance for us to get off.
This is his chance. Yeah.
No, my chest is feeling pretty good.
Good.
You're not here next week, I take it.
This is literally his last day.
Wow.
He's calling in sick Monday and Tuesday.
Oh, he's taking all those.
We got something
like that.
He's finally going to put a scratch on that neutral.
Congratulations again.
Whatever, dude. Get it up in the hills. All right.
Congratulations.
Axel, you got anything else?
I'm good.
Francine, you're here for the personnel issues. Okay. I think that's it then. We'll move into executive session for the purposes of personnel discussions.
Dr. Melnick and Marnie.
Are you going to be asking to come out and make decisions on this coming out of the executive
that
session?
That will depend on the board, but yes.
Okay. So just for everybody to know, we will be coming out of executive session and we may be making decisions on personnel.
And you will be coming out at 3:15 to go to Bronson's thing.
And we'll certainly be coming out by 3:15, the latest, that we have to go over there for a presentation.
3:05.
So, yeah. So executive session until 10 after. All right.
Thank you.
Commissioners are back in open session. There was no action taken pursuant to the executive session. The meeting
is adjourned
at 3:24.